in 35 minutes last week, or 40 minutes. And it's really, really important how you close off things and how you enter into things. You know, you hear people talking about certain things in their world or in their life, and they say, I need closure. You know, that's a very common statement. It's a very real statement of life and issues and circumstances and jobs and contracts. It's all types of things that you enter into something, but you also need closure to things. You need to start new chapters. You need to, if you want to see what's at the end of the book, any book, you need to close the last chapter or the second last chapter to see how the book ends. And last week, what I tried to do was remind us of the sermons and the topics and some of the things that the Lord had spoke to us during the year, so that you again would have a chance to go, I remember the Lord said that to me, or I promised the Lord I would start, you know, researching that, or I would start thinking that, or I would get involved, or whatever God spoke to you during the year. And the reason for that was to bring some of last year to a closure, so that we could say, okay, Lord, we want to use last year as a building block for the future. So it's very, very important. I don't know about you, but there's times in with us as a family, we've all said this to one another at some stage. Say if I came in from somewhere grumpy, which it would never happen, but if I did come in grumpy, Sharon or one of the girls would inevitably say, will you go out the door and come back in different? And it's a good illustration of, like, you know, you can enter into a place just the wrong way. And those who you enter into, who's receiving you on the other end of that, they get the brunt of your grump. And that was good, wasn't it? And so it's a valid thing to say, look, I'm gonna be intentional in how I enter into this year. I'm going to be intentional how I enter into the things of God. I'm not saying make these like New Year's resolutions that we tend to just make on the spur of the moment, and we pay for a gym membership like €350 and we use it once or twice. Not that type of like it's a feeling or whatever, but just an intentional, this year I want to do this. This year I would like to enter into that. And then be intentional about what you enter into. There's a scripture in Psalm 119. And it says this, that the entrance of your word, speaking about God's word, brings light. The rest of it says, and it brings understanding to the simple. Or another translation says, that the entrance of thy word brings light, and it brings understanding to those who seek understanding. So this whole thing of entrance, that in the beginning the Bible says that the world was dark and empty and without any shape. And God spoke his word and said something like, let there be light. And at the entrance of that word, let there be light, the world started to take shape. The world started to have creatures in it. The world started to have vegetation and animals and eventually mankind in the process of creation. But it was at the entrance of God's word. And I love this picture. Like, just like the crack in the door, that like there's a dark room and you're in a place of darkness, or you're in a place of confusion, or you're in a place where you just need understanding in your future. And all of a sudden, for those who have experienced this and those who haven't experienced it yet, which I'm jealous of because I want to experience it over and over again, that all of a sudden a word from the scripture or a thought from God would come, and there's light on the subject. There seems to be a clarity in your understanding. There seems to be at least one step into the future, that at the entrance of God's word or God's ideas or God's voice into our lives, it shapes the next steps or even shapes our future. And I want to talk this morning, I don't know whether I'll get through the 2 points, but I want to talk about when God enters the world of man, and then hopefully we get on to when man enters the world of God. The two entries, all last year in my praying in this place, and some of the understanding I have a bit more in these days, but all last year as I was praying, I had a picture, and the picture was like a door like this with a sign like that, exit over. And you remember me bringing it to you last year, that like, and I kept saying, the way you enter is important, and the way you exit is important. It's very, very important. Like, if you we say this in church circles. If you leave another church because someone hurt you or you didn't get your own way or whatever, if you don't deal with that cloud as you're exiting, the next church you enter, you'll bring that cloud with you. If you leave a job, I remember my friend told me years ago when I was leaving my job, he says, Noel, leave the people that you're leaving with a good taste on their mouth about you. It's important how you exit. Because imagine that you leave and you're just a head case. Or you're just no consideration for other people. And every time your name is mentioned thereafter, oh, the way they exit. It's important the way you enter and exit. And it's important that we understand God's entrance into man's world. And there's times in the Bible where God entered in, and there was times where man invited God in. But there was times where God just entered in, like, because there was a need and it needed to be met. And then when God enters into man's world, or man enters into God's world, we could use God's kingdom or God's way of doing things. When there's an invasion or there's an entrance into either God in our world or ours into God's world, the possibilities are absolutely endless. Absolutely endless. Like, you know, that when God enters into man's world, Duncan Campbell, an old revivalist, said this, that when God enters into your world, now you have the chance to experience the divine absolutely everywhere when God enters into your world. And one of the situations I want to talk about from the scriptures is found in the Gospel of John, about the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a man who Jesus loved, the Bible said. And Lazarus had two sisters. And Lazarus got sick and he died. And Jesus was somewhere else. And they sent word to Jesus that the one that you love, Lazarus, has died. And Jesus was somewhere else and he says, okay, I'll get to that when I get to it. And when God is entering into our world, he enters into our world his way. Which is very, very important to know. In the Old Testament, the other cultures would give sacrifices of animals to their gods. But it was always to appease the gods, or it was to manipulate gods. So they would kill a bull and give it to a god of the water, saying, like, we give you this so that we will have water all the time. So the more goats they gave, or the more things they gave, they were manipulating the gods, so they thought, to give them all that they wanted. But God had the same type of idea, in the sense, it wasn't new in the Old Testament for sacrifices to be made unto God. But it was different in God's terms, because this is what God was saying. I don't want you to do sacrifices to manipulate me, or think you can twist my arm to get you away. He says, I want you to give sacrifices to know and to honor that I am God, and you do things my way. And Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, sent word to say, look at Jesus, will you come and resurrect my brother, or my brother is dead, will you come? Jesus hangs around where he was for two more days. So you could imagine that, like, you're praying or I'm praying, a desperate situation. Louise Held said a phrase earlier on. She said, like, you may be hanging on by a thread this entering into this year. And you're praying and you're asking God for things. And you're like, God, I want this and I want to do this. And if you do this, Lord, I will offer more sacrifices. I'll put more money into the offering. I'll fast more. I'll pray more. And we're doing all of this stuff to get God's favor, where God is saying, look, guys, you already have me favor. You know, I don't want you to keep giving sacrifices to get something that I've already given you. Start looking for it, seeking it, moving in it, and operating in it, and expecting it to be wherever you find yourself. But it mightn't come in the way you want it to come, or it mightn't come in the time frame that you want it to come in. I'll tell you now, as a Christian for 22 years, if you want to save yourself a lot of pain and a lot of confusion, just say, God, I'm putting it into your hands, your way, your time, your place. Like the martini ad, anytime, any place, anywhere. But it's your anytime, any place, anywhere. Because if you don't, you're putting God on your timetable. And you'll find that you bargain with God and barter with God. Like, I'll do this. I'll be a good girl tomorrow, a great boy tomorrow. I won't do this anymore. I'll start doing this. And you'll find that you start bartering with God. And what you're doing, what they were trying to do, what the pagans were doing in the Old Testament. Here, well, the gods don't like those goats anymore. Let's get a young virgin girl and sacrifice her to the gods. And maybe that will turn them into our favor. And we start doing things like this without even knowing it. It's not the animals, or it's not the virgins being offered up to the gods. gods, but we're bargaining with God. And Lazarus, when God was asked to enter into their world, their situation, Jesus was showing, look, I am going to come through. I am going to do what I want to do. And even if you don't understand it, believe me, it's the best for you. When you don't understand that and in the things of God, you have to nail it down to this, that God does things for his glory and your good. That's the way it is. He does it for him. And if it doesn't look like that at the time, believe me, over a short period of time, you go, God, I'm thankful that you've done it your way and not my way. Because the scripture says his ways are higher than their ways. And I'm conscious, I keep looking at that clock for my time, and it says 3:15 for the last 3 days. So I better start looking at my clock. And so God, they asked Jesus to enter in to their situation, to their world. And God came, Jesus came in his time, in his place. They said, Jesus, do you not care? You see all the questions that get thrown up when you don't settle on him doing it his way. You start saying, maybe he doesn't love me anymore. Maybe he doesn't care. Look at what took him 2 days. How come he's taking this long to come through? How come he's not answering my prayer? How come I don't feel his presence? Maybe God doesn't care. And your own head starts whispering things to you that is untrue. But so Jesus eventually comes. And what happened with Lazarus was his future was gone. He was in a tomb. He was dead. He was in their days. He was starting to rot. He was starting to decay. And when he came, the sisters ran out and they were like, Jesus, where were you? Have you ever said that to the Lord? Where are you? Where have I always been? In control? And you know the story. He goes to the tomb. And everybody was around the tomb, all the wailers, because people were paid to be wailers. And so not only were they saying, God doesn't care about us anymore, or God is not going to come true. They'd heard people to sit there saying, you're right, he doesn't care. They heard people to say, Lazarus is dead, Jesus is supposed to love. When Jesus comes, he silences all the wailers, moves the tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out of that place of death. When God enters into your world, even the death situations, he can call us out into life. When he enters in, man can enter in, man's wisdom and understanding can enter in, and we can get retrieved or reprieve for a while of our circumstance or our pain. But when Jesus, God, enters into our world, he gave Lazarus back his future. He gave Lazarus back his future. And here's the idea that I want us to get from this. That ask the Lord, or whatever you're asking the Lord for, ask him to bring life to those things that have death attached to them that will rob you or me of our future. That God says, Jesus says, get that stone out of the way. Expose that dead thing to me so my word can enter into that dead thing and bring life. That at the entrance of the word of God, when Jesus says, Lazarus, and the reason why he called them by name, because if he would have just said, come up from the dead, all of them in the tombs would have been rose from the dead. So he named them by name. Lazarus, come out of that place. And the entrance of the tomb was open so the entrance of God's word could go into the dead place and bring life and secure future. So wherever there's something attached to us that has death, if mindset, a circumstance that just reeks of death, something in your past that is clamoring and robbing your future, and all there is robbing you and bringing death. They say, Jesus, there it is. Amen? The entry of God into our world is absolutely incredible. Every time God enters in, the potential that is life-changing is incredible. Jesus always brought hope, peace, joy, grace, forgiveness. He brought the power to he brought power to bring life to where there was death. There was a woman in the Bible called the widow of Nain. Her son has died. They're bringing him out to the cemetery, and they're all walking along. Jesus is entering into the tomb, and they didn't ask him to come in into the situation. But God just has a way of seeing people's hearts, seeing people's pain, and entering into the pain. He entered into the pain of the widow, her only son, no husband, no one to look after her, no one to bring money in to keep her, because if you didn't have someone in them days, you were gone. But God, Jesus, being God, entered in to the very pain of the woman. He looks at all the people that are going to the cemetery. He looks at the coffin, puts his hand and he says, "Son, arise. Arise." And the little boy or the boy got up from the dead. And he says to the widow, "Mother, there's your son. There's your son." I remember hearing a story of a woman who lost her son. I heard this from the woman. She couldn't get over it. She didn't know what the story was about his eternal situation. She had a vision one day when she was waiting on God. And in the picture she had, she seen Jesus. And she said Jesus had his hand behind his back. And Jesus said in the vision, "I have someone for you to me." And he brought our little son out. He said, "He's with me." Jesus knows how to give the sons back to the mothers. And he knows how to give the mothers back to their sons. He entered in. And you know what they said about Jesus when that happened, when God entered in? They all realized that they were in a place of holy mystery. This is the message. That God was at work amongst them. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out amongst themselves, "God is back. Looking to the needs of his people." And the news of Jesus spread throughout the whole region. Do you know what they were saying in another translation? God is moving into the neighborhood. That he's raising kids from the dead. And he's giving back kids to their mothers. And that at the entrance of his word, anything is now possible in our world. Because the entrance of God's word into circumstances and situations. That God wants to enter in. To your circumstance and into my circumstance. And I would say, put it before him. He knows how to comfort. He knows how to bring circumstance to change. Blind Bartimaeus. Blind man, beggar, no future, no present. Everything robbed on him because of his blindness. He sees Jesus or hears Jesus walking by. He hears the noise and the clamor and he calls out, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, come into my circumstance. Jesus, come into my world and bring your world into my world." Because that's why he came. He came from his place to our place to show us what it was like in our place. To show us what his place is like in our place. He summed it up probably better saying, "Here's how to believe and pray. Let the kingdom of heaven come to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he came to bring this place that he came from to our place so that we could experience his place in our place. Not his place when we just get to his place, but his place while we're in our place. And if that hasn't confused you, you're great. You're still with me? He came to show us the kingdom. He came to show us what it was like. Blind Bartimaeus, maybe he was brought to some meetings where he didn't understand everything. Why are all them putting up their hands? Why are they shouting about this Jesus? Why are they telling stories that Jesus cleansed the leper? And the leper gets up, he was once falling apart. His face falling off, his hands falling off. And he's getting up and he goes, "You know me, I used to be the leper that none of us could come near." He says, "But now I'm clean because Jesus touched me. He came into my death world and brought his life." And Jesus proclaimed, he says, "I have come so that you may have life in all of its fullness." So if there's any place in our life that death is ruling, we have to go back before God and says, "God, Jesus, will you bring your life into that place where there's death?" And maybe Bartimaeus went to a meeting and someone brought him in with his stick. And he says, "Bartimaeus, if you get a hold of Jesus, you're going to get everything." Maybe he heard other blind folk going by and saying, "Bartimaeus, have you ever heard of a man called Jesus? Call him into your world." And it says this, that Jesus was on his way to Jericho. Now what's scary, if blind Bartimaeus wouldn't have called him, Jesus would have continued on his journey probably. And blind Bartimaeus would have been still called blind Bartimaeus. But when he heard Jesus going by, he says, he was inviting him into his world. He was inviting him into his blindness. He was inviting him in, inviting Jesus into his thinking, into his surroundings, into his family, into everything. And he called out. And when those said, "You shut up, you don't be disturbing the master," when those were saying, "It's not possible," when those were saying, "Just be quiet," he got his goat up all the more. And he cried out at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And there's a tremendous part of the Bible that is just after that, where it says, Jesus stopped. Bartimaeus' cry for Jesus to enter into his world caused God himself to stop in his tracks and say, "Bring him to me." It's amazing how God responds to your invitation for him to come into your world. It's incredible. And if you suss out that he will do it in his time, in his place, and his way, well, then you're on a journey of joy and peace. If you try to fight against it and manipulate him into doing what you want him to do, you're going against what God wants to do. He says, "Bartimaeus, what do you want?" What do you think? Hello, Jesus. Wouldn't you think it's obvious? But if Bartimaeus probably, this is where I believe, if he would have asked for, "Can I have 2 euro? That's what he would have got. But Jesus was saying, "Where's your faith at? Where's your belief system at? What do you really believe that I can do? So what do you want? Oh, Jesus, I'm not going to ask you for my sight. That's too much. Oh, Jesus, I'm not going to ask you for what I really want in my heart because I'm afraid you'll disappoint me. So I'm going to just ask for the little things." He gives a new coat. "Peter, give me a coat. See you, Bart." Blind Bartimaeus says, "I want to see. I want to have my sight. I want not just to feel things. I want to see things. I don't want someone just to explain the colors of the sky and of the land and of the flowers. I want to see them with my own eyes, Jesus. And I'm saying I want my sight because I have faith in you, Doc, because I know you can restore all things, even sight to the blind." And Jesus said, "As it is with your faith, so shall you have." Blind Bartimaeus got his sight back and jumped up and told, I bet you, every beggar, every leper about this Jesus. Why? Because he invited him in. He invited him in. I was, we talk next week about, that's God coming into our world, and we talk next week about us coming into his world, right? But I had the privilege of being in Belarus a number of years now. I think it's 5 years. And being there 7 times. And when I first went working with a work team, we met this girl called Christina. And Al referred to her last week about that's the thing that rocked his whole trip, seeing this girl. And the strange things about Christina when we met her first, she was obviously 5 years younger. Two things that was really striking about her. One was her behavior was so off the wall, you couldn't believe. In fact, for the natural eye, this girl was a total write-off. Like, when she got angry all the time because she was frustrated, she would punch herself in her face. She'd punch herself in her private parts. She would rock up back and forth. She wouldn't let anyone come near her. There's people that from this church that I remember holding this little girl just till she stopped, just till the madness stopped inside of her. And so over the years, that's been the way it was. And when we went back a year ago, Christine wasn't in the home anymore. She'd now become a teenager and was sent to a mental institute. I've been to a mental institute in Belarus. Those who was at Jurassic in Belarus, who? Anyone here? Patrice? Al, you were at Jurassic? A mental institute that was the darkest place I've ever seen in my life. People walking around in circles. People just gone crazy. No medication. Just, there was one light bulb in the place. Every senses that you have was attacked. Your scent of your smell, your hearing, your eyes, your sight, your taste, your touch. Patrice went first. when she was there 1 year, and she rang me, and she was sobbing on the phone saying, "Dad, you've never seen nothing like this. These poor people, Dad, you'd never," because we were going to change that place to try and knock it down and build a new place, and they were sussing out the things, and I was like, with no concept of what she had seen, I said, "Patrice, did you bring a smile to anyone's face? Did you hug someone? Did you, you know," because I wasn't able to put it into a context, and she goes, "Yeah, it was great. They done a play for us and all that stuff." And then a couple of months later, I went there, and what I seen with my eyes was absolutely horrific, that you wouldn't believe that human beings could be in such a place. And I sipped up my jacket. I closed down. Every function in me just closed down. Like, people were taking photographs. I couldn't take photographs because I couldn't let my eyes focus on what I was seeing because I didn't know how to handle it. And I just walked around with my zip up to there and my arms like this, so because I couldn't engage with it. I was broken. I didn't know how. I wanted to ring Patrice, going, "Patrice," you know, like exactly the opposite. And we left that place. And funny enough, I was with two or three other pastors, and we went to wash our hands together. And each one stood outside the door of the bathroom because we were terrified in some ways. And there was at the gate entrance, there was these men just walking around in circles like this. Just like about 10 men just walking around. And we're walking across the courtyard. Pastor Sean Malarkey, St. Mark's, PJ, pastor of Newbridge, and Brian. And we were walking across. And I says, you know, like my old head messing, saying, "Imagine if they went and left us here." Like, you know, the three of us, Brian wasn't there. Brian was gone to get the car. And I was like, imagine they locked us in, and what would we do? And there was packs of dogs roaming around the place as well. And I'm looking at the other two. I says, "I'd probably just pretend I'm mad just to fit in." And then I looked at them and I goes, "You know what, guys, there's one thing I know about me and you two. I'm a faster runner than you, as I see us." And I start sprinting across. And PJ says to Sean, PJ said, "See you, Sean, I'm faster than you." And the two of us just ran and left Sean there. But like, when we got the news about Christine going to the mental institute, the only context that we have in our head is Taraski. And we were devastated because we thought we were never going to see her again. And let me show you a bit of a video of her first, and then I'll tell you the rest.
Some say love, it is a river that runs the tender breeze. Some say love, it is a that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flood. Lights will guide you home.
The other striking thing about Christina wasn't just her mental illness, but every opportunity she got, from the time we went there, she told us that Jesus loved us. That little girl that you see in all that pain in her face, every opportunity she would get up to say, I thank Jesus for bringing the Irish to Belarus. And in the mental institute, the one thing that we knew she had was Jesus. Because she kept asking Jesus to come into her circumstance. In her madness, she would come out of it and say, Jesus helped me through all of this. So this year when we went back, Christina was back in the orphanage. And she gets up to share her story. And in her story, she said when she went to the mental institute, she thought she was done. And she'd written a poem about how Jesus, this right, how Jesus had helped her through the illness. And Jesus, she said, gave her an understanding of what was going on inside of her. And because she had an understanding of what's going on inside of her, she could get to grips with what was going on inside of her. She's a perfect illustration of the entrance of God's world invading her world. And I told her story to tell you this. She's been offered, potentially offered, to come to Ireland next year. And I tell you, if she comes, they have to assess her. They have to. And I'll tell you, if she comes, she is one of the greatest examples of God entering into a world that's full of craziness, madness, and pain. Karen Bow has done her up at Belarus, and she came down walking into the disco that we had like an incredible princess. I want to show you one of the pictures that was taken. I said to the girls this morning, I'm going to tell about Christina, and she says it would be a miracle if she gets to Ireland. So I'm asking you to pray for this girl that she gets here. And out of all the things that one of my daughters could have said, she goes, Dad, she will love to come to church. Out of all of it, what she'll see in Ireland, she will love to come. And I want to tell you, the God that comes through for Lazarus, Bartimaeus, is the same God that wants to enter into our world and bring change and light and hope and future. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness this day. And I thank you, Lord, that you have entered into our worlds, into our lives, into our circumstances. There's times, Lord, when we didn't ask you and you came through. And Lord, there's times when we've asked you and we've waited. And Lord, I pray that in all of our waiting that we will know this, that at the entrance of your word brings light. And underneath, Lord, all of that would be a stamp that says over my life and over our lives that I'm confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And there's times when you have to ask God to come in. There's areas where he won't break into without being asked. There's areas that everyone else might think you need and you know you need, but you're asking God for all the wrong things. Give us a coat when you need your eyes open. You know, give me faith when you need, or give me peace when you need the war inside you to be calmed. I want to tell you, God wants to do this. Zacchaeus, he climbs up to get a hold of Jesus up on a tree because he was a little fella. But he was a big man in the city where he lived. And Jesus looked, and at the entrance of Jesus' word, he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And of all the people that he could have asked, all the religious that were there, all the people that were hungry to see him, he picks this tax collector who was a thief, who was a stooge for Rome, who added on money to the people to take more money to line his own pockets. And Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. And he says to him, today salvation's come to your house. And salvation in that word coming to his house meant that it's got my kingdom and salvation's going to come to your family,
to your business, to your relationships. He says you're going to get the whole shebang. When God enters in, he wants to bring the whole shebang. He wants to bring the whole of the kingdom. And the more the door gets open to him, the more of the kingdom we can let in. But there's areas that only we can open up to let him in. There's areas he won't invade. Because your dignity and unrenewal means a lot to Jesus. So maybe this morning you'll hear him knocking saying, let me extend my world to that part of your world. Maybe he'll say, I'm not just here to save you, but salvation's coming to your husband, to your wife, to your kids, to your business, to your relationships, that he brings it all in. Maybe you need peace. At the entrance of his word, there's peace. Maybe you need hope. Maybe you need deliverance. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need to settle in your heart, Lord, I know you will come through. Give me the patience and the peace to wait on you to come through. I'm not offering anymore heifers. I'm not bargaining with you anymore, Lord. I'm waiting on you. Scripture says those who wait on God will get what they need. Not those who bargain with God. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you invading our world. We commit ourselves to waiting on you, Lord. We commit ourselves to having you do your things your way in your time. Lord, would you convict us of holding on to areas that are bringing us into the tomb? Just show us what they are, Lord, and get us to expose them so that you can speak life where there's death. Father, madness, mayhem. Father, as we heard and seen and experienced in Christine's life, Lord. Now, Father, at the entrance of your world into her world, Father, we've seen transformation this year in that girl's life. Because you're a God of the transformation. And Lord, you want to bring transformation into our madness, into our worlds that we don't understand. You want to bring it. And I would say, I'm always a believer in doing something in response to God. And if you need his world to enter your world, why don't you stand up or come to the front or make some significant intentional prayer or stance before God and say, Lord, I'm standing because I need an invasion of your kingdom into my world. And I'm opening my life, I'm opening my heart, I'm opening my family, I'm opening my business, I'm opening my finances, I'm opening my future, I'm opening my past, I'm giving you my something, just some significant intentional thing that you're saying, God, I'm entering into this world with the knowledge that God wants to enter into my world. I'm entering into this year with the knowledge that God wants to enter into my world. Into my circumstance. Now, Lord, I will trust you, Lord God. I will acknowledge you in all of my ways, Lord, because you will make my path straight. This day, Lord, I prepare the way of the Lord. I prepare the way for the Lord to come in with his kingdom and his glory and his joy and his peace and his hope and his mercy, his grace, his healing, his forgiveness, his deliverance, his future, his plans, his purposes. Lord, I open myself. I say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Even for our visitors, you mightn't understand everything. Some people say, I have God in my life. But he's casual. He's like a hard hand. But God wants to come in and give you his life. He doesn't want to be part of our lives. He wants to be our lives. And when he is our life, we truly start to live life. 22 years ago, I said, Jesus, come into my life. I was a broken young man. I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. And he came in and he brought life. And if you've never asked him to come in, he won't invade. He won't just invade that. He will come in at your request, but
And you can say, Jesus, come into every area. Come in and bring your kingdom. Come bring in, bring your salvation. So, Lord, here we are before you. And we say we're entering into this year. And, Lord, we want the fullness of your world to invade our world. We want, Father God, every heart, Lord, every mindset, Lord, every circumstance, Lord, that we would know the divine in everything and everywhere, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would stir our faith within us, O God. That, Lord, when you say to us, what do you want me to do? That, Lord God, we would ask you for the biggest and the highest, O God. That we won't belittle you as God. We won't let our faith be in our shoes, O God. We won't let our faith be looking, Father, for things we don't really need, Lord. But, Lord, that we would reach for the higher things, O God. And we would say, Lord, I want my sight, Lord. Lord, I want the impossible, O God. I want the unimaginable, Lord God. I want, Lord, to see things I've never seen and to do things I've never done, O God. I want to hear things I've never heard before and to go places in you that I've never gone before, Lord God. And that will all happen, Lord, because you invade and enter into our world, O God. We open up our lives like Zacchaeus. Lord, every area. Household salvations, O God. Prosperity. Jobs. New business ideas. Prosperity and favor in businesses, in college, in courses. With relationships that have been broken, Lord, that they'll come together this year, Father God, because we've let you enter into them, Lord God. Estranged kids, Lord God. Kids that are far away from us, O God. That, Lord God, like the widow of Nain, you would bring the kids back, O God. There would be restorations of family, Lord God. Restorations of marriages, Lord God. Restorations of relationships in workplaces, O God. And in family situations, O God. We say, Lord, here we are, Lord. Invade, O God. Bring your kingdom, Lord. Lord, may our stories be that, Lord, of Christina at the entrance of your world into my world. I can now dream about going to other places in the world.